5 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now to start this thing off on a Friday on our First Advantage Hotline is my guy Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Zach, we're getting there, man. We're heating up. This is going to be... I mean, this is a defining moment, not just for the season for the Broncos, but we've all been kind of waiting for this situation really since the Super Bowl. The Broncos haven't been in many big games in December. It's fair to say maybe none. Maybe that 9-7 year with Gary Kubiak. So this is an absolute huge game coming up for the Broncos going up against the Bengals this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, it is huge. And Brady, it just got even bigger after last night. Mm. I know people don't want to pull for the Chiefs, but last night it was good for two reasons. The Chiefs beating the Chargers brought the Chargers down the game, and now it sets up where if the Broncos win, regardless of what anything else happens on Sunday or tomorrow, if the Broncos win, they will at least be tied for all three wild card spots, and there's a chance that they could actually own one of those wild card spots if some other teams lose. And then it's also good that the Chiefs won, because going into last night's game, Brady, the Broncos had a 5% chance at winning the division. The Broncos weren't really going to win the division, and now this is really going to kill Broncos fans, but if the Broncos want the Chiefs to kind of lock up the first seed in the AFC soon, so that when they play them in Week 18, the Chiefs aren't playing for anything. You got backups in, but you don't have to face Patrick Mahomes, and you get a good shot of beating them, because the Broncos Week 18 are likely going to be playing for something. At least if all goes well, they're going to be playing something. So last night, a great start for them. But, of course, Brady, it all boils down to the Broncos have to take care of business as well. Right now, they've set themselves up in a position where they don't really need anything else from other teams to happen in order for them to make the playoffs. But if they don't take advantage of their opportunity, well, they're not going to make the playoffs. And this game sets up where the Broncos really should be able to win. The Bengals, they are a good team. They're maybe the most inconsistent team in the National Football League right now. And the Broncos are catching them at a good time. Look, the Broncos have a winning record the past couple of games. And the Bengals, they're 2-4. In their last six games, they're struggling a bit.
Yeah, that's what's interesting is that they are a good team. It seems like the Bengals are, but the last two games, yeah, they've certainly kind of hit a wall as far as their momentum and everything. So, Zach, when you look at the matchups here, what's that number one thing that looks out for? And obviously, but as we look at matchups, I think it does revolve around the run game too. So both sides, I want to get kind of your key matchups, but also give us the health status on the Broncos running backs.
Yeah, Broncos running backs are getting healthier. Now, Javonte Williams' leg swelled up a little bit. He had yesterday off of practice, but it was more so of a rest thing. He's out there practicing as we speak right now, Brady, which is great news for the Broncos. So they're going to be at full strength at running back. And in fact, the Broncos are going to be at pretty much as close to full strength as any team in the NFL. Draymond Jones not practicing. He hasn't practiced all week. That does not look good for him. But really, he may be the only one. The Broncos still have three guys in the COVID protocol. But Brady, compared to the rest of the league, especially with the last-minute breaking news that we're seeing right now, the Broncos pretty good on the COVID front as well. So you just cross your fingers up until game time that it stays like that. But for the most part, Broncos really good on the injury front. And when it comes to matchups for this game, Brady, the one that I think everyone is focusing on is the Broncos rushing attack going up against the Bengals run defense. And now the stats make it look like, boy, this is going to be such a difficult game for the Broncos to run the ball. The Bengals have allowed the third fewest rushing yards. However, when you take a dive further in the numbers and look at what's happened recently with Cincinnati, Brady, it's not as intimidating. The Bengals, yes, overall they've only allowed the third fewest rushing yards in the NFL. But they're averaging 4.1 yards per carry against them, which is about middle of the league. And when you look, they've been giving up some rushing yards these past couple of weeks. So it's not going to be impossible for the Broncos to rush the ball. In fact, I don't think they need to change their formula that they've had these past three games. 2-1, beating, of course, destroying the Lions, but also they beat the Chiefs with this formula, and that is run the darn football. And Teddy Bridgewater, just be efficient. Look, Brady, when Teddy Bridgewater was efficient against the Chargers and efficient against the Bengals, the Broncos kind of easily won those games. When he wasn't efficient against the Chiefs when he had two interceptions, when he was seeing ghosts out there. The Broncos lost and did not have the offensive output. So I don't believe that you need to put this game on Teddy Bridgewater's shoulders and say, well, we can't run the ball. No, you got to stick with your guns. The past three games, the Broncos have averaged 160 rushing yards. They need to stick with that formula this week.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that that's the formula. We discussed that in the offseason, was if this team can establish the run, and I don't know that any of us really thought Javonte Williams was going to take off the way he did, so I think that that's been a bonus. But if they can establish the run and play elite defense, that's going to be key. And so many people are looking at this. I've read a lot about, hey, Teddy Bridgewater time. He needs to really show out here and do something as we get closer to the end of the season if he wants to be paid. That's not the Broncos, and I think if they're relying on Teddy to be a 250-300 guy, they're going to be disappointed on that side of it. So you're right. I think you got to keep doing what got you here. When the Broncos win, it's typically when they're running the ball well and defense can come up with something big.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And there's been, I don't know when this shift happened, Brady, but over the past couple of weeks, a very head-scratching shift happened where it seems like people are now holding Teddy Bridgewater to like a top 10 quarterback standard.
Right.
And that is, we never expected that from him, you know? What if Broncos country wanted for the past 5 years? They've been so desperate for average quarterback play. And Brady, the Broncos are getting average quarterback play from Teddy Bridgewater. Now, last week, the stats were probably better than his play, but it still was okay. Now, his ball accuracy needs to improve. But it's not like we've seen his ball accuracy been a big concern throughout the entire season. No, it was just last week. And yes, that needs to improve. But you know what's more important than ball accuracy in my mind is decision-making. Against the Chiefs, he had poor decision-making. Broncos lose. Against the Chargers, against the Lions, he has good decision-making. The Broncos win. That's all they need from him. And when you look at the stats too, Brady, Teddy Bridgewater's right around between 13 and 20. With all of his stats, he's right around the 13th best, the 20th best quarterback. Averages out to what? Average. That's what Teddy Bridgewater is. And Brady, that's what we said. If the Broncos get average quarterback play, they can make a push for the playoff. Look what they're getting. Average quarterback play, and they are making a push for the playoff. So, yes, Teddy Bridgewater is not as good as Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, but I don't know when these expectations got out of whack.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've heard several people, again, say, you know, hey, Teddy's got to be something. Teddy's got to come out and do something against the Bengals. It's just not the way this Broncos team is organized. I think even Vic, who loves, you know, obviously wanted Teddy over Drew from the get-go, I think even he would admit, no, it's Teddy because he's safe. We are a run football team. We have to establish that. Zach, on the other side of the ball, the Bengals got a pretty good running back, too. They got a bell cow guy, one guy, Joe Mixon. With a 1,000 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns for him, 12 of them rushing. He averages over four yards a carry. I mean, this defense, this front group, I mean, they're going to have their work cut out for him.
Oh, yes, they are absolutely going to have their work cut out for him. Draymond Jones has been playing so well for the Broncos as of recent. Not having him is going to be a big bummer because, man, everyone likes to talk about Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, and yes, they both can be excellent. Ja'Marr Chase is fantastic. Joe Burrow is really hit or miss. Joe Mixon, he's not hit or miss. He's just a straight up hit. He has the second most rushing yards in the NFL. He has the second most attempts in the NFL. He has, I believe, the second most rushing touchdown. He is a beast. And so that's why this game, I think, is just really going to be a grinded out game on both sides of the ball. And Brady, I'm more concerned about the Broncos' ability to stop the run than I am concerned about the Broncos' ability to run the ball, and it's because Joe Mixon is running it so well. And he has the name. Obviously, he's been in the news for so many years. I don't really know why he's gone overlooked, but he's certainly not getting the credit that he deserves. Maybe it's because a former number one overall pick in Joe Burrow is there. But Joe Mixon, he's the thing that scares me the most because, look, Pat Surtain, this Broncos secondary, they've been doing excellent these past couple of weeks after they had their struggles to start the season. I'm not too worried about them. Joe Burrow may get a couple, but he's not going to torch the Broncos. But this run defense has been suspect, and if they can't stop Joe Mixon, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and I go, could that be a Philadelphia-type situation if Mixon gets going and that's just going to open up everything where the Broncos, you know, he's falling forward. And that's what absolutely killed Denver against Philly last time around. So that's a big one. You mentioned it. Joe Burrow, as far as that goes, you got to be able to stop the run, but you love the secondary. Burrow can throw it anywhere. He can put the ball anywhere. But he's also up there as far as interceptions, too. So this could be an opportunity for Denver to come up with some game-changing plays.
It really can be. I mean, Brady, there's no doubt that Joe Burrow has flashed many times this year, his number one overall potential. But at the same time, he's been Mr. Interception, 14 picks on the season. Remind you of someone last year? I mean, Drew Lock was right there with 15 at the end of the season last year. And Joe Burrow has obviously had more flashes than Drew, and they feel really good about Joe Burrow. But he's had multiple games with two interceptions, and Brady, they've lost every single game that he's had two interceptions. So the Broncos are going to have opportunities to pick him off, and they need to take advantage of that. I mean, we've seen a lot of times this year where the Broncos have the ball go right through their hands on the defensive side of the ball. They need to capitalize on those because Joe Burrow can throw for 300 yards and two interceptions. And if that happens, it doesn't matter how many yards he gets. The Broncos are going to win this game. Now, if he plays mistake-free and you don't take advantage of those opportunities, then, yeah, those 300 yards are really going to hurt you. So Joe Burrow is really good, but he's still having a lot of questionable decisions that the Broncos can honestly win this game off.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that this could be a huge opportunity for Broncos playmakers to step up. How about this guy who hasn't been a playmaker really for the Broncos? Just injuries have been a tough thing for him. But Bradley Chubb, I think Broncos country keeps waiting to see when he's going to, you know, play like we believe he's capable of. We've seen, you know, spurts and things like that. Obviously, rookie year was good. Last year was good. Looking at this guy, what do you see, Zach? When do you see Bradley Chubb having one of those breakout type games where we say, hey, we would like to see him sign a long-term deal pretty soon?
Well, last year when he came back from injury, it took him about 3 or 4 games to really heat up. Now, he's about 3 or 4 games back from this injury, so that's a reason for optimism to believe that he's ready to turn the corner and have a huge impact outside of just the run game, especially in the pass game, because that's why they have him, is to rush the passer and make those impact plays. But that's the optimistic side of things. We really haven't seen Bradley Chubb. I mean, he hasn't been a bad player when he's been out there these past couple of games, but again, you have Bradley Chubb to be a game-changing type of player, and obviously we have not seen that. A reason for hope that it could happen this week, not only could he be getting his feet back under him, which he talked to us earlier in the week that is the case, but also Joe Burrow's a guy that will hold on to the ball. He's going to try to make some plays with his feet, and that will allow the pass rush more time to get to him. But Brady, the Broncos so desperately need that because they don't have Von Miller anymore. Bradley Chubb does not have a sack this season. In fact, Bradley Chubb doesn't have a sack in the past 7 games dating back to last year, which is crazy. As good as Jonathan Cooper has been, you have Malik Reed on the COVID list right now. You need some help in the pass rush department, especially when you close out the season against Joe Burrow, against Derek Carr, against Justin Herbert, and against Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be way too tough of a task to ask the Broncos secondary to shut them down without any pass rush.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. Zach, so when you're rounding this thing out, it's such a huge game for Denver. That place, the atmosphere, likely going to be crazy because we're not used to it. Weather's going to be good. Playoffs are in the midst. We're looking at it right now. You're seeing the Chargers lose to the Chiefs last night. The opportunity is right there for this team. What do you think? Do the Broncos find a way to get it done, get win number 8, and put themselves deep into the thick of the playoff race?
Brady, probably beyond my best judgment, I'm buying in right now. Maybe it's selfish because I want the Broncos to be competitive this past month of the season, but I think they get it done, and I think it's because of what I talked about. The Broncos are trending in the right direction. They have really seemed to find their formula these past 3 weeks. Even when it didn't work against Kansas City, they stuck with their formula, and that honestly gives me the most hope for this game. This defense is honestly playing elite as well. Even against Kansas City, they only gave up 13 points as a unit themselves. So I'm buying the Broncos. I think it's going to be a slug it out game. I think it's going to be very close. I like the spread at 2.5 because I got the Broncos by 4. I'm going to go 24-20, and man, this town is going to erupt after this game and be full on playoff mode.
Do you have any side predictions, like stat predictions, Patrick Surtain pick 6 to really set this thing up? Bradley Chubb pulls a little Von Miller action, a little strip sack, or Javonte Williams just runs. Any side predictions for us?
Boy, let's go with the bold one, and I'll say 200 rushing yards for the Broncos and kind of prove everyone wrong about Teddy's got to take over, Teddy's got to take over. Now, I think the Broncos are going to try to establish the run early, and then once they establish it, they're just going to say, wait, why would we pass? We don't need to pass. We're just going to keep pounding the ball. So 200 yards.
200. I love that, man. That sign me up for this kind of Broncos football for the rest of my life, by the way. If that's how things are going to be. Zach, appreciate you, man. What are you working on that we can check out in the next couple of days as we get set up for Broncos Bengals?
Well, one thing that I'm doing these past couple weeks and will be leading up to the playoffs is everything you need to know about where the Broncos stand in the playoffs right now, their odds, who you should be cheering for this weekend. Obviously, a big one yesterday. Got some games coming up besides the Broncos that would help them in their playoff chase. So that's the piece that I would pump right now. And Brady, one quick thing too that I forgot to mention when talking about Teddy is if the Broncos make the playoffs with Teddy Bridgewater, they're still going to try to upgrade the quarterback position. So a lot of people get scared and nervous about that. You know,
right.
if Teddy plays well, they're not going to try to upgrade. No. They're still going to try to upgrade. So enjoy the ride right now. And George Payton's going to try to upgrade that position at the end of the season as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, okay, Zach, let's stretch that out even further. If crazy things happen, and listen, the AFC, NFC, it sure seems like it's wide open. If crazy things happen, Denver gets in, they pull off an upset, they get past the first round, something even crazier happens in the second round. I think you know where I'm going with this. The Broncos do the entire unthinkable thing here. Is Teddy then back? I mean, is the only way back for Teddy Bridgewater to win a Super Bowl for Denver, or is even that the case?
I still think that they would look at the two options out there of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and try to upgrade it a big way there. Now, if those guys aren't available, then I think Teddy probably did enough to deserve more time in Denver, and I don't think the Broncos would go in a first-round quarterback. I don't think they'd be looking to upgrade in the second tier of free agency or the trade market. But yes, even then, I still think they would try to get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
Yeah, because likely if that path, however unlikely it is, it's because you're running for 200 yards. It's because you're coming up with defensive stops, crazy sacks, crazy interceptions, things like that. So I'm with you, my friend. Zach, it should be really fun, man. This is uncharted territory for us, at least in the last 5 years or so. It's, you know, Super Bowl days. You had the 9-7 year, but that was a weird kind of fizzle into the year. This is the first time we've kind of felt mile high magic going into this or being in the middle of this month of December. So enjoy it, Broncos country. It's a great time.
Oh, exactly. And like you said, that 9-7 season kind of fizzled at the end. They started really hot and kind of fizzled down. Broncos started hot this year, fizzled in the middle, but they picked up steam. I mean, there is reason to believe in this team right now, Brady, and it's all going to be on that running game. And, man, Sunday is absolutely huge.
Yeah, no question, my friend. Zach, appreciate you. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be looking out for your coverage leading up to the game as well. Certainly a lot of reason to refresh because of COVID and injuries and everything, just to keep an eye on things. So we'll be looking out, my friend.
Right on. Thanks for having me on, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He's our Broncos insider. And are you feeling it? You get an interesting one last night. Of course you're not, Angel. You should be rooting for the Broncos because it doesn't matter. The Bengals or the Broncos win, it hurts your precious little Dolphins.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I've just, this entire season, I've seen you guys get excited and really hyped up about this team. And then they lose a game, and you're just like, oh, the whole world's ending. This team sucks, all that. And
well, when you lose to Philadelphia. But see, you're painting this picture like it's a bizarre thing. When you lose to Philadelphia and then absolutely destroy the Chargers, and you absolutely go into Dallas and destroy the Cowboys, you can see why Broncos fans are like, holy crap, on one level, we can be really good. On the other level, you lose and get gashed by the Eagles. So it's been a very inconsistent ride for this Broncos team. No, I mean, they're 7-6. It's been extremely inconsistent. So, I mean, you can see why Broncos country is hesitant games like this. And then they lose or win, you're high on them again because it has been wildly inconsistent all season. Eastside Chris texting in, Brady, funny, we gave Chief Dixon grief the first 4 or 5 games of the season. Now we must bow down to him for the rest of the season. I think there might be a lesson here. Chief Dixon is the man. What are you talking about here, Eastside Chris?
This is the whole show.
This is not Dixon Chiefs love. We rooted for the Chiefs out of necessity last night. It felt dirty. It felt wrong. I smoked a cigarette after that game. It was disgusting.
And it's not like they blew them out either. They almost could have lost that game.
They almost could have. Chiefs didn't look good. Chargers coaching situation, I mean, they left 9 points there. There's 9 points in Los Angeles today. You could probably go find it. Give them to your Dolphins, and they might win this weekend. The Chargers were outcoached last night. The Chiefs were outplayed last night. I'm telling you, the window is open right now for this Broncos team to do something. And you go beat the Bengals, you're right there. You're in the thick of this thing. You got teams like the Colts in front of you that have a monster schedule coming up. You beat the Bengals, then you've got the Raiders still on that schedule, the Chargers, who you have beat before, and a Chiefs team that, I'm sorry, I know the Chiefs might be clicking, but it's not. We're not saying they've arrived. Did you see Mahomes, a couple of those throws last night? He does not look Mahomesy. The last two drives, he looked Mahomesy, but, and Kelce was doing some kind of weird chicken dance move to get that touchdown. It was a crazy game, but I'm not walking away from that game going, oh, Chiefs for sure. They're back. I don't feel that way, at least after last night. Thursday Night Special is back, though. We got an overtime. It took overtime to get it, but that's the thing. Mr. Thursday Night is back, Angel. You didn't want to believe, but very much back in the saddle, my friend.
No, I was very impressed.
You're welcome. 26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. More Broncos-Bengals today. I'm telling you, there is one guy in particular that I've got my eye on this weekend as far as who needs to step up. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Hey! 31 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show. Game beer of the week. It's going to be a fun weekend, Broncos fans, Rams fans, Bears fans, Buffs fans, fans of sports, really. Bowl season is upon us, Angel. I'm not a big bowl guy unless the team I root for is in it, because I think the whole bowl season is kind of a ridiculous scam for money for college football. They need to just make them playoff games. But if it's available, you got to get there. You got to win six. You got to get to a bowl game. So we got one local team in Air Force going.
I got the Bahamas Bowl on right now.
What's the score?
Toledo is leading 17-14 over Middle Tennessee State.
Toledo? CSU beat Toledo. That was one of their wins. They beat Toledo. How about that? Taking you back to that terrible train wreck of a season already. Game Beer of the Week, though. Go enjoy it. On the Rocks Liquors Game Beer of the Week. It's from Crabtree Brewing Oatmeal Stout. Pick up selections from Crabtree or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. They got their Friday and Saturday free wine and beer or spirits tastings from 4 to 7. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. It's like 80,000 degrees out there, Angel. It does not feel like Christmas at all. Although you're used to this kind of Christmas. Not a lot of snow there in Alabama, right?
No, not a lot. This is pretty much what it's like all winter long.
So you're used to it. You can manifest Christmas whether it's 70, 60 degrees or not because you're used to it.
Very much so.
Oh, see, it bothers me. Even if we don't have the white Christmas, I still need to wear a coat and see occasional clouds. When I walk outside and I can easily pull off a polo on a day like this, I'm not feeling it. I'm listening to Christmas music driving around and it's like, let it snow. I'm like, it's 90 degrees out here.
It is weird. Coming to work in a jacket and then by the time I leave,
take it off,
I'm like, oh, it's perfect out here.
That's why they invented those pants, the shorts pants.
Always like the basketball pants that you could just rip. They had the Velcro on the side.
Oh.
Those are cool.
I had the buttons, you know, and I remember we went to state basketball. I think it was in Pueblo or something. And we're in our layup line, right? And I go up. Tons of people are there. I go up, and I'm a freshman at the point, so I'm not really getting playing time on the varsity side just yet. I go up for the layup, and my hand comes across the buttons, rips them on off. good thing I had shorts underneath there, man. That could have been worse. But that I hated. So after that point, I put tape around those bad boys because I was like, these things come off too easily, man. Those tearaways. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So last night was a crazy game between the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs, I felt like, might run away with this thing at one point. Then you had the Chargers, and I feel like they might run away with this thing. They went for it, was it five times on fourth down, and they didn't get, they think they got one, and did they get
like three out of five?
They got three out of five. Well, the first three they didn't get right, and then they didn't kick a field goal.
It was like they were allergic to the end zone. Like they would get the ball there, and the receiver would just drop it.
Well,
like, at the goal line,
not Eckler, but the other running back dives over the tries to get in the end zone. They slap the ball out of his hands, and next thing you know, Chiefs take that thing and do something with it. So it's an interesting time. But we go to overtime, and the Chiefs found some magic.
Just one catch, shy of Otis Taylor. Here is Kelce, still going. Kelce, good night, touchdown. Chiefs win it.
Thursday night special in the bank. 2 for 5 is what they were on fourth downs. But and again, it was the way they went for it. You know, it was the way that they just. They were just so confident every time. There was no debate at all. Is this, I mean, you're seeing this in the NFL now. More teams are going for it, even on their own side of the field. They're foregoing field goals. Brandon Staley there was no discussion in his brain. As soon as fourth down hit, he's calling a play.
What I think it is, I think a lot of these NFL teams now have one guy that's in charge of like analytics. And they go look through all of that. So it's just like, oh, it's fourth down. They normally run this on this down and distance from this part of the field. So you need to run this kind of play. And they just work through that, and they have the perfect play for that situation. Obviously, you got to execute it still. But, you know, analytics is taking over the league right now, and it's a little weird. Because everything is being overthought. And
instead of just getting points, just
right.
Go get 3 points. You know, I don't mind going for it once in a while, but I like points still.
It depends on the situation.
Right.
Like if it's like, oh, our field goal kicker is bad, or, oh, it's 1 yard and a half and we can just run it up the middle real quick or something like that. But, you know, it's a lot of trust in your kicker, coaching decision, all that stuff. But going 2 for 5 on fourth down in a big game like that is not good.
You could have probably won the game. And again, I know that sometimes when you score points or whatever, it dictates how the rest of the game goes. Different play calls are made in certain situations when you're down. But theoretically, if you just want to throw that out there, they have 9 points that they leave on the field, assuming they make those field goals. So if you're a Chargers fan, you're thinking, man, we had this game. Are you happy with your head coach today? Do you like that style of thinking? Or are you pretty upset thinking, but this guy might have cost you the playoffs? This might have cost them the playoffs last night. You know, I know they have 3 games remaining on the schedule, but theoretically it could cost them. If you go back and miss it by one game, you're going to look at those fourth down conversions or lack thereof, and you might be upset.
With how competitive the league is right now and in these last 4 weeks, all these games, every play is going to be overanalyzed as like the season make or break thing.
No question. All right, 37 minutes after the hour. What else we got? We got Nuggets. We'll talk about the Nuggets in Atlanta tonight. Consistency. And again, we talk about it. Who's going to be that other guy to help fill the stat sheet a little bit? We'll talk about that next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Right now, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to the Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back to the whole show. I want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. They're the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Live well, but plan ahead. Get it all organized, get it figured out, but then plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their wonderful staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing gift. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, 970-330-6824. Or go to their website, Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, funeralservice.com, Mosier Funeral Service. Raiders.com. We got games moving around like crazy. They just moved, what, Raiders-Browns to Monday as opposed to Saturday Night Football. So you're seeing it. You're seeing the COVID situation rear its ugly head again across all of the leagues at this stage. Do you see any kind of a stoppage coming up? I've seen several reporters not really reporting on the fact, but asking the questions. Do you see the NFL, the NBA, the NHL doing a 24-hour, especially with the NBA and NHL, a 24-hour to 48-hour stoppage, halt, just to try to get this thing under control?
Yeah, I just got a notification that a couple hockey teams, including the Avalanche, are going to stop until after Christmas break.
Yeah, I mean, that's
probably the smart thing to do. The thing with the NFL is you got, I hate to say it, but fantasy playoffs, whatever, but, you know, that's money.
It's
that's
money,
gambling.
Man. Yeah, I mean, people like to talk all high and mighty until there's a lot of money, and with the NFL, it's a lot harder to move things around like that because...
I mean, we saw them do it last year a couple times, moving games around, but this outbreak that's going on in the NFL and all across sports really is, it's interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see how the leagues handle this.
Yeah, I mean...
Pushing games back helps, but if you have to start canceling games, like, that's a whole other thing.
That's a different, and especially in this tight playoff race, a tight one like we haven't seen in a very long time. Certainly interesting. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon says, since Mahomes has come into the league, he's changed the way teams look at fourth down. As far as offensively or defensively? Thinking, man, we don't want to give Mahomes a shot on offense, so we're going to take a chance and keep the football rather than settle for three or punt because we don't want to put the ball in a guy like Patrick Mahomes' hands. Again, or are you looking at it from the standpoint of, well, you're seeing creativity on such an offensive side as Mahomes. If you can find those, work on those fourth and three, fourth and 2 yard plays, you know, maybe you can master that and get fourth down. So curious your thoughts there. Texter, and the thing about going for it like that is you're basically admitting and telling your team that you can't beat them straight up. And that's a bad message. I think so. On one side, you look at it. And you can say, all right, going for it sometimes rejuvenates your offense because you're like, I believe in you guys. I think there's the Vic Fangio mindset here is we can't beat this team with field goals. That's also saying that you don't think your defense can hold up and come up with big enough plays to get those stops too. So I find that interesting. I do think that there is a limit to where I think as a team going for fourth down, it can be rah-rah, can motivate you a little bit. Two out of five times, I tend to look at it and say, you have absolutely no faith that our defense can come up with a big stop, which they were coming up with, by the way. They were coming up with stops against the Chiefs. So you can reverse that message sometimes by having so much faith in your offense and saying, we want to keep the ball in the field or in our possession. You're completely saying, I have no faith that you can shut down Mahomes, which, by the way, this hasn't been fireworks of an offense. This season, they've had their moments, but the Chiefs are not. I mean, part of this win streak that they've been on has because their defense has been really good. And so, if you're the Chargers, why would you not say, okay, we're going to kick a field goal? This offense has not been blowing anybody out the door, so that's where my thinking would go. And the same went with Vic Fangio. Fangio's, you take this long butt drive. and you have to settle for nothing because you don't go for a field goal, and your response is you don't beat the Chiefs by kicking field goals. Maybe in 2021 you do. Maybe you can beat the Chiefs by kicking field goals. The Chargers would have last night, and the Broncos would have stayed in touch had they done the same thing. So I get the analytics side. I understand that. I do think it's important to look at, but at the end of the day, points are points. That's what it's about. It's about scoring points. It's about beating the other team. And at the end of the day, as Medved likes to say for CSU, looking up at the scoreboard and seeing more points than the other team. I have a problem. The first time, okay, but I have a problem with it after that. Kick the field goals. I mean, I'm fine with it because my Thursday night special landed and we're all happy about that. But kick the field goals. Get the points. 48 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We'll wrap up hour number one. I do have CSU basketball talk coming up. They got Tulsa this weekend. We'll bring the Swole Cracker himself, Steve Ivey, diehard Rams guy. Love his insight. Love his take. Should Rams fans be worried about Tulsa this weekend? Is that what you would call in the industry a trap game before the Rams and Angel's team, Alabama, go at it. We'll talk about it next.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Breaking news on this Friday afternoon, Colorado State men's basketball tweeting out moments ago, based on public health recommendations and COVID-related concerns on the team, CSU is unable to travel to Fort Worth for its Saturday game against Tulsa. The status of future games, including Tuesday's scheduled game against Alabama, will be determined at a later date. So, that is yikes. That's a bummer. We said it was just hitting the NFL, the NBA, the NHL like crazy, hitting the college game as well. So no CSU-Tulsa game this week. I'm getting multiple reports coming in saying that game is just simply going to be canceled, but I have no proof on that just yet. Again, CSU issuing this out moments ago based on public health and health recommendations and COVID-related concerns on the team. CSU is unable to travel to Fort Worth for its Saturday game against Tulsa. The status of future games, including Tuesday's scheduled game against number 6 Alabama, will be determined at a later date. We will keep you updated on that as much as we possibly can. Is that game going to happen then? Is the Alabama game going to happen? And it's not a conference game, so you could see. I mean, that has so much impact, though, Angel, for March Madness. I mean, I know COVID. I know it's more serious than anything in the history of the world. But how do you handle that? How do you handle that if you're the NCAA?
I don't know, because that's a quadrant one game.
That's a big game. I mean, I know we're joking, and maybe Alabama runs away with that game. But either way, you want to slice it. You got a number 6 team and a number 23 team playing on Tuesday. You're having this probably go on throughout the course of the schedule in the next week or so. But yeah, that's an interesting one for sure. CSU, of course, scheduled to play Tuesday in Birmingham against Alabama. You might need to check your plans for that, too.
We shall see.
The Tulsa game's not that big of a deal. That's not something that is going to build the resume up one way or the other. But it will bring worry and health and all that for the team concerns. I mean, you're certainly worried about the situation at this stage. CSU had pauses, had a pause last year, too, at the beginning of the season. It was hard for them to even get this thing fired up.
I remember UNC had like 3 or 4 COVID situations.
And UNC's was kind of later, because I remember CSU's was at the beginning. And then they rescheduled their game to play again, to play up against each other. And it was, ultimately, the Bears couldn't do it at that point. So are we there again at this stage? Boy, that's something to keep an eye out on. I don't know if that game gets rescheduled.
No, it's definitely interesting. With all the sports right now, like the next, up until we get past New Year's, what's this going to look like?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. You might see a lot of this. And as, again, we were looking forward to a 10-0, hopefully, we hoped an 11-0 basketball team going up against Bama for one hell of a shot to really improve on that resume, move up in the rankings, and here you are. So if you're not playing Saturday, that's only 3 days away from that point. I can't imagine. I'm just throwing it out there. I can't imagine you load up in 5 days from now to go play Alabama.
Well, yeah, normally when these kind of announcements come out, it comes from one school that affects it. So if it's coming directly from CSU, you have to think it's something involving that team.
Yeah.
Or whoever Tulsa they're playing.
I think you're right. Boy. All right. Well, in the second hour, there's that news. It's all over Twitter now. The news is out. CSU's not playing Tulsa this weekend. So that's going to be an interesting one. And then we got Broncos talk coming up. A lot of people talking about Teddy Bridgewater. Like Teddy Bridgewater is going to be, you know, the guy that's going to make the difference in this game. And I don't see how you can look at any game that the Broncos have had in their past 5 to 10 games and tell me that you think Teddy's going to be the difference maker. It's about running the football. It's about being an elite style defense, and that's what it's going to take to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, in the second hour, we were going to talk to Steve Ivey, but with no game this weekend, there's no X's and O's to talk about. So we'll see. We'll figure something out. Broncos-Bengals, though, heavy coming up. Also, Nuggets at it tonight. Can Aaron Gordon be the guy? Can Bradley Chubb be the guy this weekend? Some pressure on a lot of solid players coming up. We'll talk about it next.